idea how they're going to pay.
And they don't have the revenue stream.
You know, they're in a very different and much worse place than we are. So it's really important that we know the facts behind the numbers and the,
well, Mayor,
you know, the situational facts.
Because you've raised the question, I would urge the auditor to furnish us with some additional information about peer cities that you've identified. Sure. Be interesting to know what activities they run that we don't, or what are some of the differences. Does Cincinnati show a football stadium on its books that we don't have? Just be interesting to see, to make sure we got apples to apples. And then if you believe that there are some best practices and lessons learned from that data, we'd love to have your analysis on that.
Mm-hmm.
I was in San Diego a few years ago when they had the same challenge we had with a blip in the economy. And I remember meeting with the parks director, who was directed to prepare, I think it was a 30% cut in her budget, and it was a complete wipeout. So it occurred to me at the time that they had a different way of budgeting current services than we did, because we actually never got to that kind of Armageddon. But I would welcome a more detailed analysis based on the work you've done, Drummond. These other cities, what do they do differently? Do they have assets on the books that are different from ours? And what lessons do you draw from it?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would be helpful to us. And I would also say there are some other cities which at least the Portland Business Alliance considers peer cities that I'd hope you'd consider throwing in the mix too, because I'm not sure all those cities are generally viewed as peer cities. But anyway, we can talk about what are the comparators. But I'd love to see the analysis in writing. Goes back to this idea of good debt, bad debt. And I've always had a concern about looking at debt out of context. If you took my street in Northeast Portland and wrote a report on all the mortgages on my street, you'd say, my God, there's a lot of debt on Cesar Chavez between Knott and Stanton. But if you said that debt allowed a lot of people to secure the American dream of a house that has value in it, you'd say that's about right. And I'm often concerned about making sure we have the context to evaluate debt, and maybe not go down this rat hole of assuming debt is bad because it's debt, but that we make value judgments about what's good debt and what's bad debt. And we need that guidance.
Yeah, I think your challenge, it's fortunate that for your pension OPEB, you've got a solution. First, you've got a property tax, so you've got a revenue stream. And second, you made a change a few years ago to put the new hirees into PERS, which is funded on a current basis. So you've got a solution for the biggest driver to this. It's going to take a while for that to work out. You've got kind of double payments, if you will, for a period of time, but it's going to work itself out. So, and you're already getting a 40-year projection on that property tax, so you're already looking at risks. You know, the one thing you might want to do is consider if there is, I think the last report showed maybe a 5% chance that the property tax would run short of the requirement. So maybe you tuck some money aside to cover that risk. That's something you could maybe address. But for the most part, you've got that piece covered. So it really gets back to the capital assets. And you could make an argument there's nothing wrong with what the city has done. The thing that we want to try to do is make sure that if debt is your solution when it comes time to replace this, that the debt payments don't become so great that it puts a pinch on the ability to maintain your service level. And all we're saying is if you look out far enough in advance, I think you can project if you're going to get to that point. And so, you know, if you're feeling pinches now, I mean, there's a question whether you're to that point now and could we have maybe made some different choices the last few years so we don't feel the pinch. So anyway, the point is how do you build in a longer frame look and metrics so that you can predict if you are going to have a challenge down the road and still meet the service level that you want to meet with the residents of the city of Portland.
Yeah, just a footnote. I mean, I'm going to be interested in both the auditors and your thoughts about at the pension board about that, how close to the top of the graph we're going to get.
Uh-huh.
So we think we're okay, but your counsel about that will be most welcome.
Just one point I want to reiterate is that we could improve our net asset position even by doing irresponsible things. I mean, we could have a one-year 100% tax increase and build a billion-dollar palace and neglect maintenance and all of our declining assets, and that would still show up as a billion-dollar improvement in our net asset position.
Yeah, I think you raise a good point. I mean, I don't know that anyone can tell you what your number should be. I mean, you could have arguments all day long. My way of thinking, if you're meeting your service level and you can meet your cash flow requirements, you're doing great. but let's make sure, because this trend cannot continue. I'll tell you, you cannot sustain this. At some point, your cash position will suffer. And so you've got to make, so just like you address the pension, you've already addressed the pension. That will resolve itself. But at some point, you've got to make a change. And so when do you do that so that you don't run into that cash crunch?
Well, wait a second. Yeah. Pause on that for a second.
Yes.
Because you're talking about a depreciation-driven graph here, and our cash position is continuing to improve.
Well,
so how do you square those two?
Well, remember that this graph on page 3 is full accrual. So that's all your costs compared to your revenues. The cash
costs
one,
and depreciation.
Exactly, which is a cost.
Yeah.
It's a cost.
Yeah.
And the issue is that you can't maintain that. Eventually, the cash runs out.
Or the capital assets have to be replaced.
Yeah.
Right. Or repaired.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I get you. Yeah. We know that about some of our that helps reinforce our understanding about the condition of some of our capital assets, streets in particular.
Right.
So I think
to some extent, doesn't this graph understate the problem? Because when you're just looking at depreciation of the original cost of assets, that doesn't reflect the cost of replacing them or repairing them.
Correct.
Ooh, that's right.
Yeah, you know, sometimes getting a capital asset, so it's an obligation. You got to maintain it. Eventually, you got to replace it. So every time you take one on, you got to make sure that's really, you know, an important asset to have and critical to providing services for sure.
So this has been a great discussion, I think, and I'm really glad that it's happened here and that the public has been able to participate at home and here. Fred actually wanted to come up.
I think we want to bring up Fred and Jonas, because I think there's some questions for Jonas as well. But any other questions for our first panel?
Thank you for the discussion.
Very well.
And again, just to reiterate what, you know, great news from an audit standpoint and the ability to get a clean opinions. That's been phenomenal. Again, want to make sure that you understand how we appreciate the supervision you provided and leadership that has allowed that to happen.
Well, thank you. Thanks for good work. Okay. Fred Miller, our acting CAO, John Speary, our debt manager, welcome.
Thank you. I think the nature of my remarks may be both briefer and maybe just briefer than before, because your discussion was pretty good, and I wanted to make sure certain things came to your mind. I speak a little bit of accounting, but I speak more management and policy. And sometimes management and policy objectives are different than if you strictly follow the full accrual accounting. So I was concerned, given the nature of my discussions with the auditor's office and with Jim before, that a couple of things may not be explained as well as I think they might for policy purposes. And I think actually you did a pretty good job bringing them out. But among the statements I was wrestling with is, in the past, our discussions have said expenses have exceeded revenues in 8 or 9 of the last 10 years. And I'm thinking, now, how do we get to that? And you've already hit it, because when you count expenses as partially the police fire system and the depreciation, you can get to that outcome. But I think a lot of the public listening to that would say you're overspending. Another one is that there have been excess expenses of $183 million this last year. Budget director or bureau directors who are putting their budgets together would love to get some of that $183 million. I mean, we're watching this system get down to $5 million and lots of requests, and you think, now, how could you get to $183 million? And the answer is, in particular, a big part of the answer is the fire police retirement. You have a funding source, but you can't count it according to accounting rules because it's not an asset. So $128 million of the $183 million that were excess expenses are from that source. And I think, okay, you need to understand that, because otherwise you might be concerned 183 is too big a number, but that's where that comes from. And there's another $72 million that's depreciation, and you've dealt with that issue. So when you talk about expenses, excess expenses, that's where that comes from. So once you know that, then you can get your mind back on, I think, the budget focus and what you're trying to put together now. Since you dealt a lot with this, I definitely wanted to mention the fire police retirement question. I think you pointed out, I think I didn't know coming into this job that we'd really book all the assets at original cost and then depreciate, and that you're dealing with that situation. Commissioner Novick has sort of highlighted some of that, so I think that's recognized. The one question that has come up before in our discussions with Jim is the question of intergenerational equity, and expressing a concern about that, in particular because of our fire police retirement, that we're spending current money for benefits accrued in the past. My take on intergenerational equity is a pretty complicated question. That statement is true related to the fire police retirement, but if you have sewer bonds, which Jonas sold, 20-year bonds, people are going to pay those off in the next 20 years. But people, the citizens, will receive benefits in year 21 through maybe 100 and get off free. There's a shift in terms of intergenerational equity. And we're sitting here today with what I read is 80 and 100-year-old water sewer systems worth zero. Someone's already paid off, and we're benefiting. So if you're really looking at the issue of intergenerational equity, you've got to look at a lot of different programs. It's a complicated study, and you can't just take one program and say, therefore, it's a problem. Frankly, I don't know how that comes up. And I think most of us like something like an interstate system where we've invested and people benefit for years, even though that's a question of intergenerational equity. You've handled the debt question. I was going to deal with that, but I think I won't so much because there's a little undercurrent that debt may be a problem. But just several examples. On the federal level, ever since Herbert Hoover, I think people have recognized that if the economy is in a downturn, deficit spending is a good idea to prop it up. Accumulating debt makes some sense, and we'll probably never get all the debt off our books. I mean, I know we won't. And as a percentage of GNP, it frequently is declining. It's not a bigger problem. It's less of a problem. At PGE, we made conscious decisions to have 50% debt, 50% equity. And probably they're always going to have that. Very consciously want half of the financing to come from debt. It makes sense. As you pointed out, mortgages. There are lots of people around who think it's not worth saving up to buy a house. You want to take out a mortgage. That debt becomes productive. And another good reason for debt is it does achieve some intergenerational equity. You invest in assets, and then people pay those bonds off over a period of time. So I think, and Jonas worries about this, but there is an optimal amount of debt, and we should think in those terms rather than a negative connotation. So I wanted to, with this piece, to say just be careful when you think about declining net assets or unfunded pensions or overspending. There are usually answers to those. We did well in getting our AAA rating from Moody's. I mean, that's benefited us. And it's no doubt one of the conclusions of Jim's presentation and our conclusions would be we need to invest more in assets. I mean, that's a question you're going to hear more about in the budget presentation, and that's a given. But I think it's important, and I think you got it, that we need to be managing the outcomes, not necessarily the accounting rules. And that's where, listening to your discussion, I think you're focused.
Thank you.
I have a question for Jonas.
Okay.
And by the way, Fred, we're going to add about $400 million of assets on the books shortly.
Great.
Around reservoirs. we've had a discussion about credit ratings. And Jonas, you manage our debt. And I think it would be helpful if you told us, what are the handful of most important factors that credit ratings look at when they decide, for example, to give the Water Bureau the highest rating in the country, a AAA credit rating? What do they look at as factors of credit worthiness?
Very good question. The rating agency methodologies are all publicly available on the rating agency websites. I'm happy to provide those as well. So there is information available.
You to give us the English translation.
Correct. Thank you. It's a number of factors. It's things like financial condition. If we're talking about things like the city's general fund, they want to look at things like the net asset condition and the reporting that we do as part of our CAFR. They also want to look at the systems that support that, including the management systems that support that. If we look at things like water and sewer, they want to make sure that we're meeting regulatory compliance. They want to make sure we're meeting our revenue coverage targets, that we have the ability to pay the debt and some beyond that. They want to look at the ability to have strong management who understands the system and understands the needs of maintaining the financial condition of that system. They want to look at our history. They want to look at our fund balance, a lot of the things that we came up today. One point I'd make, though, is that they do a comprehensive analysis. They're aware of a discrete table, a discrete reporting, a discrete issue, but they spend a lot of time really delving into the complexities of the financial system. And I would add, they do that on an ongoing basis. We've been rated, we mentioned the AAA rating a few times, we've been rated for over 30 years. That means for over 30 years, Moody's Investor Service has been looking at the city on a regular basis, looking at the detailed nuances of our operations and our financial details, and making an independent judgment that we do deserve that high rating, similarly for the water system being rated AAA.
So this idea of active management and the points you get for active management. So in our system, whenever we issue debt, you come before us, you explain the purpose of the debt, the terms of the debt. There's a public hearing. The public gets to come in and say, is that a good idea or a bad idea? And ultimately, we have to cast a vote. So is that part of the active management for which we get credit from rating agencies?
Correct. It's the council's ability and willingness to support the needs of the system, as well as the staffing constructs that allow the ability to actually manage those financial systems.
So, Mayor, we are not allowed with staff to ask city employees to take positions on current matters that may be on the ballot. So I want to be very explicit. I'm not asking you to take a position on the water district and the proposal. But there is a provision that has gotten a lot of attention in the proposed water district that says that they may direct us to issue debt, and we shall issue debt, the word shall. And I guess I would ask you, do we have any current arrangement where some third party can direct us to issue debt and we have no role but to rubber stamp it? That is, no role to determine whether it's in the best interest of the city or our financial statements or whatever?
I don't know that I'm the most qualified to answer whether we have that in the city. I'm not aware of it from anything that touches the debt systems. I mean, I think one comment I would be able to make is relative to my earlier comment about the role of the management strength. Anything that compromises that management strength is certainly going to have potential for some negative rating impact.
Okay, and that's when you say potential for negative rating impact, I just want to put the fine point on that. The big pipe costs $1.4 billion, and during a great stretch of that project, we got the lowest rates ever. We got rates during basically a depression and paid probably 2% for our debt. Cities across the country that are doing CSOs going forward may be looking at 4% debt. If Congress changes the rules on municipal finance, it could be 5%. I just want to make sure people understand that if you change the rules of the game, either at the federal level or the local level, and if it drives up the cost of debt on things you otherwise have to do, like unfunded federal mandates, that is, in effect, a tax. And people need to understand that under this proposal, we would have absolutely no role other than to issue debt and put our full faith and credit on the line. And that is one of the concerns I have about that proposal, Mayor.
Trains on autopilot don't go to good places. Other comments or questions? Thank you both. And we had no one signed up to testify on this? Okay, so then let's take first a motion on accepting the report.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion and roll call, please.
Fritz? Well, thank you very much both to staff and the consultants for this in-depth report. It's good to me to know that there are people who are both inside and outside who are watching over our city budget, and in particular Jane Kingston, our city controller, has demonstrated her diligence over and over again. So thank you very much. Aye.
Fish.
Yeah, I want to echo that and also thank our Jim and our friends from Moss Adams. This is what you come every year to talk about. And it's a very complicated and chock full of data document. I think you do an excellent job boiling it down for us and the public in terms of the big picture. And I appreciate your work. I appreciate the auditor's work. And I really appreciate our interim CAO for coming in and giving us his perspective. And Jane, thank you for your presentation. This is information. The best part of it is it says that we have a clean audit. And the policy implications are things that we should discuss and debate going forward. But today, the question is, can you have confidence in the financials of our city? And Moss Adams, a reputable firm, at an arm's length review, says yes. And I think that's the takeaway for me. Congratulations to our budget team for their tremendous work. We have clean audits, national recognition and high credit ratings because of the professionals who do the hard work of keeping our finances on track. So thank you for that. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, thank you, Moss Adams. Thank you, Auditor's Office and Comptroller's Office. And I appreciate the good, clean bill of health. Thank you. Aye.
Novick.
I also want to thank Jim and LaVon and Drummond and Fred and Jane for a very interesting presentation, an informative presentation. Thank you and my colleagues for a spirited discussion, and I'm pleased to vote aye.
Hales.
Well, the fact that the council could have this spirited discussion and perhaps go a little longer in the calendar than we should have indicates, one, that we're all wonks up here, but more importantly, that we actually take this seriously and that this is really important work. I've just got to say, I mean, you could listen to this presentation and say, you know, well, this is just sort of ministerial stuff. We think this is normal. I mean, we think it's normal for our auditor and our outside auditors to come in and give the city that manages billions of dollars in hundreds of different funds a clean bill of health. We think that's normal. Let me tell you, from working around the country in the last 10 years, it's not normal. It's not guaranteed that you will have a 30-year record of the best credit rating that any government can get. It's not normal that our staff would have no corrections to make in the way they do their work in managing all these hundreds of funds. In one of the instances that I'll recount, one of the governments I worked in had the FBI sweep in and arrest 20 people because they were using funds the wrong way. So this is not normal, and that's very good. And this is a way we keep Portland weird in the way that even those who hate that phrase would have to love. So thank you very much for good work and for all of our managers and bureaus and in OMF who make sure that we do this work this well. I'm really happy that that we have this affirmation of your good work and that the fact that the public's money is being managed prudently, properly, and efficiently by the City of Portland. Well done. Thank you. Aye. And the second item is also requires a motion, I think.
So moved.
Second.
No, it doesn't. I'm sorry. Resolution. It's a resolution. Never mind. I thought it was a report. Never mind. Go ahead.
Anyway.
We'll make a motion anyway. Roll call, please.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Novick.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye. Okay, now we'll move to 251.